So happy Mother's Day to my beautiful wife, and not only to my beautiful wife, but to my own mother, who's now living in Lubbock, and to my mother-in-law. She is still, everyone's still alive and well and healthy, and we're so thankful for that. And to each and every one of you, this is a special weekend. Because it's a special weekend, every year I preach a special message to moms. And this message is not just for moms, though. It's for all women, and it's not just for women. It's for men. It's for everyone. And do I have a message for you? The title of my message, A Tale of Two Moms. And we're going to talk about two amazing moms in the Bible. One mom was the birth mom. The second mom was the adoption mother. And outside of Mary, the mother of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, these two moms are probably the most important, significant moms in the history of the world because of who they mothered. Moses, the greatest national leader and legislator the world has ever known. The tale of two moms. I'm going to be reading out of the book of Exodus, chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. So out of love and respect and esteem for the holy word of God, please stand to your feet for the reading of God's word. About this time, a man and a woman from the tribe of Levi got married. The woman became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She saw that he was a special baby and kept him hidden for 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she got a basket made of papyrus reeds and waterproofed it with tar and pitch. She put the baby in the basket and laid it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile River. The baby's sister then stood at a distance, watching to see what would happen to him. Soon, Pharaoh's daughter came down to bathe in the river, and her attendants walked along the riverbank. When the princess saw the basket among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it for her. When the princess opened it, she saw the baby. The little boy was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This must be one of the Hebrew children," she said. Then the baby's sister approached the princess. "Should I go and find one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" she asked. "Yes, do," the princess replied. So the girl went and called the baby's mother. "Take this baby and nurse him for me," the princess told the baby's mother. "I will pay you for your help." So the woman took her baby home and nursed him. Later, when the boy was older, his mother brought him back to Pharaoh's daughter, who adopted him as her own son. The princess named him Moses, for she explained, "I lifted him out of the water." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this amazing story. I thank you for these two incredible mothers that are mentioned here, the birth mom and the adoptive mom. Thank you for the message that you're going to speak to the church this weekend. May we have ears to hear and hearts to receive by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray and ask in the name that's above every name, the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And all of God's people said, you may be seated. Moses' mom, what was her name? Jochebed, that was her name. Her name means Yahweh is glory. What a woman this mother was. She actually had three children. Those of you that know the Bible, or those of you that watch the Ten Commandments every year, you know that Jochebed was the mother of Aaron, Miriam, and Moses. What an incredible woman. These were three powerhouses for God. Aaron became the first high priest and founder of the Aaronic priesthood. And then Miriam, she was a gifted poet, poetess, musician. She was immediately and intimately involved in the life of Moses from the time he was born to the time he was adopted by the princess. She was a part of the ministry of both Aaron and Moses throughout the wilderness journeys that they had. This was an incredible family, and we know that these three children were raised by godly parents, and Jochebed was able to imprint the heart of God in these three children is remarkable. Now, for whatever reason, There are times when mothers have to give their children up for adoption. I know there are moms in this service, and there will be moms in our services, in our service tomorrow, and those of you that are watching, that for whatever reason, whatever the circumstances were, you had to give up one of your children for adoption. And this is what touched my heart when I prayed and asked the Lord, what Mother's Day message should I bring this year? And this story came to my heart. I've never heard anyone preach from this text, especially around Mother's Day. But here are two incredible women, the birth mom, Jochebed, who, because of the circumstances of the time in which she lived, when Pharaoh made a decree that all male children were to be killed, she hid her son, and then she was willing to put her son up for adoption so that his life would be spared. I applaud Jochebed for doing that. I applaud the other woman that is mentioned here, Pharaoh's daughter, a princess, and how the Bible says, we just read in that text, she finds him in the Nile River, she takes him, and she accepts him as her very own, and she raises Moses as though he was her very own son. And in all actuality, she was. So how blessed was Moses that Moses had two moms? And this princess, Pharaoh's daughter in our story, you know, she could have killed the baby. She knew that the order and the decree came from her father, Pharaoh. She knew that this baby was a Hebrew baby. And yet, her motherly instincts kicked in when she saw the baby coming down the Nile River in a little mini ark. And when she opened it up, he stole her heart. When she opened it up, the baby was crying, and it triggered sympathy and compassion. And that's why I salute and I applaud this unspoken, unsung hero in the Bible, Pharaoh's daughter, this princess who adopts baby Moses. You know, outside of the movie, The Ten Commandments, there is no indication in Scripture that after Moses' mother weaned him, after she weaned him and took him back to the princess, that Moses ever saw his mother again. There is no indication in Scripture that he ever laid eyes on her again. And yet, look at how he turned out. Even though Moses was raised in all the ways of the Egyptians, the Bible tells us, their language, their pagan, godless culture, their belief in many gods, their pantheistic and polytheistic belief and worldview. In spite of that, the time came in Moses' life when he identified with the suffering of the people of God and chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, the book of Hebrews chapter 11 tells us. And Moses chose the way of God. I'll tell you what, sometimes all you need is just maybe a year or two with that little one, and you can imprint in them a heart and a passion to follow after God. Let's thank the Lord for all the godly mothers who have invested in their children. Sometimes it's beyond a mother's ability to raise her own child. And there's great compassion for those of you that fall into that category. No judgment. No one knows the circumstances surrounding your life at that moment in your life. Perhaps you come to the realization of your inability to raise that child. And so out of love, you gave that child up for adoption. I read a story once of a mother that was dying of cancer in the hospital. And she had three children. The time that she was in that hospital for a month, her husband had physically abused those three children seven different times. This mother, in her courage, she's a hero. You know why? Secretly, she put up those three children for adoption, and before she breathed her last breath, the adoption was secured without the abusive father knowing it, but she never got to see those children again for that period of time, that month, She was working behind the scenes for them to be adopted. She put the needs of her children above her own, wanting to be able to embrace them one last time, kiss them one last time, and tell them goodbye one last time. This mother died a hero. I want to give you five important spiritual lessons for all of us this Mother's Day weekend from this text. If you're taking notes, the first one is this: all children have a target on their backs. Look at Exodus chapter 1, verse 22. Then Pharaoh gave this order to all his people: every boy that is born, you must throw into the Nile, but let every girl live. You know, maybe Jochebed took this literally: throw him into the Nile. He didn't say that once you throw the baby in the Nile, it couldn't be in an ark that was unsinkable in the Nile. So in one sense, she did obey the command of the king, of Pharaoh. But listen, every child, life is so precious. Life is such a gift. Life is so beautiful. And all of us that are living today can say a hearty amen. Well, that wasn't too hearty. I know, you're rusty. You've been out of it for 6 weeks. Amen. Right? How about you in Facebook land? How about you on the internet right now? Right? All of us can thank God for the life that He's given us. And life is so valuable, life is so precious, that the enemy wants to come the moment a child is conceived. The enemy wants to come. And oh, the enemy fears children, because anytime God has wanted to change the world, He sends a baby. And perhaps the enemy knew prophetically something was different about this baby, and he had to take this baby out. What if the world had never had a Moses? We also know prophetically Moses is a type of Christ. We know that Jesus, when he was born, that Herod passed a decree that every boy 2 years and younger was killed in Herod's attempt to kill Jesus. All children have a target on their backs. The moment a child is conceived, it becomes a target for the enemy. The moment you, my friend, the moment you were conceived, you were separated in your mother's womb, and you became a target for the enemy. If he can't get you in the womb, he'll get you when you come out of that womb. He wants your life. He's a thief. John 10:10, Jesus said, the thief comes not but what? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. Every parent, therefore, every mom and every dad. You know, Moses' dad's not even mentioned in this story. By the way, you know who wrote the book of Exodus? You're right, Moses. And, you know, Amram, his dad, he left him out of this portion of the story. That's okay. I mean, know that dad can be out of the picture, but your kids can still turn out all right. We don't want dad out of the picture, and thank God Moses' dad wasn't out of the picture. But Moses wasn't even raised by his own earthly father. He had no contact with Jochebed and Amram, his mother and his biological mother and father, once he was given to the princess. He was raised in a palace. He was raised as royalty. The reason his life was spared is because his parents built an ark of safety. I want to encourage every mom, every dad, every expected mom, every future mom, every future dad. I want to challenge all of us as parents. The most important responsibility you'll ever be handed is the responsibility of parenting. And it's so important that we take our cue from Jochebed and Amram, that we build arcs of safety and arcs of protection for our children. What type of arcs are we to build? An ark of a godly home environment. One of the good things coming out of this global pandemic, I've never seen more of my neighbors. I didn't say I'd never talked to more of my neighbors. I said I've never seen more of my neighbors. We're not talking, but I'm watching. And they're walking up and down the streets, husbands and wives holding hands, and moms and dads riding bikes with kids. And this has been an extended vacation in some respects. But we got to get back to work. Love doesn't put food on the table. You know what I'm talking about? Okay. So, but the good thing that's come out of this is the gathering of the family. And nothing takes the place of building an ark of a godly home environment. How about the ark? I'm talking about saving your kids. I'm talking about the devil has targeted our children and the generation of young people, and we need to build arcs of safety for them. Can I get another amen in the house of God? We need to build the ark of Christian education. We need to build the ark of homeschooling. And now everybody's a homeschooler. Everybody now is a Christian homeschooler. Amen. God was going to get it done one way or the other. How long it lasts, I don't know. I know most parents are praying for school to start again. Can't happen soon enough. Who needs a summer? Put them back in school. But listen, we need an ark of godly education, an ark of Christian education, an ark of homeschooling. Or if your kids are in public school, you need to build a spiritual ark of safety, and you need to be involved in the process of their education. We're talking about building an ark of protection, an ark of safety. We need to build an ark of a good church and good church practices and good church habits. And dads, you don't need to send your wife and kids to church. You need to load them up and you need to bring them to the house of God, for that is what's required of a man of God. And then we need to build the ark of family devotions. They might look differently for all of us. Family devotion could be something as powerful as every Sunday the family gets together in the home and does the Bible study together, or not. It could be what Deuteronomy 11:19 says. When you get up, teach them about God. When you put them down, teach them about God. Throughout the day, wherever you go, teach them about God. It's a constant devotional, living in the ark of a godly home environment. I didn't say a perfect home environment, but a godly home environment. The second powerful lesson is this. Every child is exceptional. Say that with me. Every child is exceptional. Say it again. Every child is exceptional. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. It was by faith that Moses was hidden by his parents for 3 months after his birth, for they saw that he was an exceptional child. They saw something. Through the eye of faith, through the power of the Holy Spirit, they saw this is an exceptional child. And they refused, thank God they refused, to be daunted by the king's decree that all male children should be drowned. All children are exceptional children. If you're here with your child, just look over and say, you are an exceptional child. Go on, look them straight in the eye and tell them, you are an exceptional child. Amen. It takes fearlessness like the parents of Moses to have children today, to be willing to have children today. Oh, I don't know, Pastor Carl, you know, we've recently been married, but we don't know if we should have children. We don't know if we should bring them in a world that's going through a global pandemic. Be fearless. Have those children. It would have been real easy for Jochebed and Amram to say, you know what, we're going to abstain. We're not going to have any kids, right? Who wants to bring kids in this world of slavery? But thank God they didn't make that choice. They chose to have one more. They chose to have that third one. And that third one happened to grow up to become the mighty deliverer, Moses. Not every child's going to be a Moses, but every child is exceptional. Look at what Acts 7, verse 20 says. Once again, Stephen, first martyr of the church, when he's telling the history of the story of the Hebrew people, in verse 20 he says, about that time Moses was born a child of, I like this, say it with me, divine beauty. Woo, glory to God. His parents hid him at home for 3 months. They were quarantined too for 3 months. May it end in Jesus' name. Divine beauty. Every child is a child of divine beauty, of prophetic nature. What's the third lesson? The third lesson is all women are born with maternal instincts. Is that too old-fashioned, do you think, for the day and age in which we live in? Old-fashioned, new fashion, out of fashion, in fashion, I don't care. It's biblical. It's biblical. And all women, whether all women become mothers or not, all women are born with maternal instincts. Look at Exodus chapter 2 and verse 6. When the princess, I love that, the princess. That's how the Bible refers to her. If we had more time, Hebrew tradition gives us the name of the princess. They tell us that she was never able to have children on her own, interestingly, according to Hebrew tradition. Can't verify that scripturally, but according to Hebrew tradition. And that's why she was so eager to adopt this child. Some say she ended up getting married, and she married a man in the Bible. And her name is mentioned. Like I said, if I had time, we'd go there, but I don't, so never mind. Can we put that back up? I'm not done yet. Thank you. When the princess, everybody say princess. Some of you have a dog named that. Princess, right? Hopefully, husbands, you refer to your wife as princess. Or dads, hopefully you refer to your daughter as princess. But if I have more than one daughter, princess one, because you were born first, princess two, because she was born second, and princess three, amen, they're all princess. When the princess opened it, she what? She saw the baby. The little boy was crying. She heard the baby. And number three, she felt sorry for him. This must be one of the Hebrew children, she said. Three things happened. She saw the baby, she heard the baby, and she felt sorry for the baby. When she saw the baby, oh, listen to me carefully. When she saw the baby, when she heard the baby, something came alive on the inside of her. Compassion was triggered. Oh, I love this. You see, regardless of economic factors, regardless of race, regardless of gender, all these issues melted away before the God-given identity of a woman, the maternal instincts of a woman. And this feeling was automatic on the inside of her. It was spontaneous way it happened. It didn't have to be worked up. Her emotion was not the result of her education. It was not the result of her upbringing. It was not the result of the Egyptian way of life. It was not the result of their ethics. It was not the result of her duty. Listen, it was a natural born instinct on the inside of princess, Pharaoh's daughter. She was a part of the most powerful man in the world at that time. For Pharaoh to the Egyptians was like a god in human form. And when she saw him, and when she heard him, she felt something. Oh, glory to God. You know, we're so thankful for our ministry to women at Heartline, our women's clinic. We're so thankful for the opportunity that we have to show love and compassion to women who find themselves in a crisis pregnancy, to those who are contemplating termination, that we have the privilege to walk this journey with them. We have the privilege, because of modern technology, to allow them to see that child on the inside of them. And when they see him or they see her, they can't hear yet. Oh, may the technology come where they could. I think they can hear the heartbeat, yes. So yes, they can see and they can hear. But I'm talking about that baby talking on the inside. Amen. That would be a miracle. Let me live. Yeah. When they see the baby, when they hear the baby, guess what happens? Compassion. Compassion. That's why these are maternal instincts. These are God-given instincts. That's why little girls play with dolls and little boys play with G.I. Joes. Don't allow the world to desensitize you. Don't allow that to happen. And number four, God repays the sacrifice of parenting. What do I mean by that? The greatest sacrifice, outside of giving your life for Jesus, the greatest sacrifices of life don't come in the form of marriage. There's a lot of sacrifice in marriage. Don't get me wrong. The greatest sacrifices in life don't come by way of building a business or getting your degree or, you know, becoming financially successful and all. No, the greatest sacrifices in life, outside of dying as a martyr for Christ in China and North Korea and parts of the world right now, is raising children. Because you have to put your life temporarily on hold, especially moms. But God says, I'll repay you. In Exodus 2:9, Let's read this out loud together. "Take this baby and nurse him for me," the princess told the baby's mother. "I will pay you for your help." So the woman took her baby home and nursed him. Oh, doesn't God have a sense of humor? When princess found the baby, she said, I can't produce the milk, but I know somebody that can. You want me to take it to one of the Hebrew ladies that can nurse? Yes, and let them know, I'll pay them. And the person that she was paying was none other than Moses' birth mother. Woo, come on, don't you know God is able to make a way where there seems to be no way if you and I are fearless and obedient to him. Sometimes you have to obey God rather than man. Sometimes you have to defy the king's decree in order to be obedient to the King of Glory's commands. I believe prophetically the Lord is saying, when you have children and when you sacrifice for those children, I'll pay you back. Because ultimately those kids belong to God anyway. And one day you're going to give them back to God. You say, whew, here you go, God. Why'd you have to give me such tough ones to raise? Amen. And God says, I will pay you back. I will compensate you. I mean, you know, raising kids is expensive. I think it's up to $1 million per kid now. You know, it'll have you think twice to have more than two. But keep having them, amen. May your quiver be full. There's a reward to doing right and doing good, honoring God. Never think that your parenting is in vain. Raise up a child in the way that you go. When they're old, they'll not depart from. Maybe when they're young, they depart from. Maybe when they're in their 20s, they depart from. When they're old, they'll come back. You may not see it, but have faith. They will come back. You know, I read a story of a sailor over 100 years ago. A sailor went to a small town, and he carved his initials in a tree. 100 years later, that tree was cut down. And when that tree was cut down, what his name that he carved into that tree was still there. And when they begin to section off the tree, they begin to realize, based on the rings, you know, how old that tree was. And they're like, wow, this guy carved his name in this tree 100 years ago, and it's still there. When you carve the truth of God's word into the hearts of your children, it will never leave them. God's word does not return back to him void. It will accomplish what he set it forth to do. Come on, let's give the God a praise in the house of God. Can we do that? They're online. Can you thank the Lord also? Moses, raised in a pagan environment and yet was educated, well educated in all the ways of the Egyptians, but still identified with God. I quoted it earlier, but in Hebrews 11, 24 through 27, he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God to enjoy the passion pleasures of sin for a season. Literally, the Bible tells us this. Understand this. Literally, Moses was to be the next Pharaoh. This is not Ten Commandments, Hollywood, movie, fantasy stuff. According to the teaching of Scripture, he was next in line to be Pharaoh. Basically a god to be worshipped. He said, no! I'd rather go live on the backside of a desert in the will of God for my life. I'd rather be a shepherd and give up the throne and give up the crown and give up the palace. Who does that sound like? Sounds like my Savior, who voluntarily and willingly took off the crown, took off the robe, laid down the scepter, and came to this dusty world, this sin-cursed world, this wilderness of a world, to give his life as a ransom for many. Come on, let's thank the Lord Jesus for his sacrifice for us. A very dirty little boy came in from playing in the yard and asked his mother, "Who am I?" Ready to play the game, the mother said, "I don't know who you are." "Wow," the boy cried. Mrs. Johnson was right. She said I was so dirty my own mother wouldn't recognize me. You know, no matter how dirty you get in this world, no matter how dirty you may feel and no matter how dirty you may be right now, the Father still recognizes you, and he still loves you, and he still welcomes you. My final point is, number 5, women are indispensable. Say that with me. Women are indispensable. Guys, if you're here with your wife or girlfriend, turn to them right now and say, you are indispensable. Is that a proposal? No, just hold off on that. Women, you can tell I'm having fun, man. I've been in the wilderness for 6 long weeks, 40 days or 40 years, it seems like. Look at Exodus 2:4. The baby's sister then stood at a distance, watching to see what would happen to him. I'll tell you, there's so many female heroes in this story. We can't end without talking about Miriam. She stood at a distance, and she watched. She was a watcher. Thank God for all the Miriams, all the spiritual sisters in the body of Christ, who are standing at a distance, and they're watching that next generation coming up. And they're praying for that next generation that's coming up. They're concerned about what might happen to that next generation that's coming up. They're watchful, and they are watchers on the wall. Thank God for all the Miriams out there. The sisters, the spiritual sisters, they're not mothers yet, they're not wives yet, but they're women. And women are indispensable. Women who are watchers. Oh, and how about those women who were the midwives? Look at verses 20, 21 of Exodus 1. So God was good to the midwives. And the Israelites continued to multiply, growing more and more powerful. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families of their own. Because the midwives feared God, he did what? He rewarded them. He blessed them. He gave them families of their own. And if you're here and you are longing to have a family of your own, keep walking with God. Keep fellowshipping with God. Keep fearing the Lord. Keep honoring the Lord. Keep obeying the Lord. And the Lord will give you a family of your own, either by birth or by adoption. Hallelujah. Both equally blessed by God. Because the story of Moses is a tale of two moms. I'd like every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, I thank you for this Mother's Day weekend. I thank you for every woman. They are truly indispensable. I thank you for every mom. I pray a special prayer of strength, hope, encouragement in their souls in Jesus' name this Mother's Day weekend. I pray for your grace and mercy and blessing to heal whatever wounds may be there for maybe the mother that didn't choose life. There's still forgiveness at the foot of the cross. There's still grace and mercy at the foot of the cross. Jesus still shed his blood for all. And the blood of Jesus is there for you today. Will you receive God's grace and his mercy and his forgiveness? And to every mom that has felt like quitting, throwing in the towel, giving up, will you receive his strength? Will you receive his word to you? I will repay you. I will reward you. And when you feel like you're at the end of your rope, when you feel like you've hit that wall, the Lord is there. When we're weak, then he is strong. And they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not faint. Father, I thank you right now for your grace and blessing upon every mom. And thank you for the sound of a crying baby. Thank you, Lord. May it continue to always trigger compassion in our hearts like it did for the princess in our story today. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here tonight, live, or today, Sunday, watching online, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or at one time you knew him, but you have backslidden, you've fallen away, it's time to come home. The Father's calling you. And for those of you that don't know Jesus yet, the Lord is calling you into a personal relationship with him, and now is the time of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow is promised to no one. There's never been a greater threat that the entire world could possibly, potentially be wiped out from a disease like today. It's no time to gamble with your soul, friend. You must surrender your heart and life to Jesus. How do I do that? Call upon him. The Bible says in Romans 10:9, if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For those of you that are backslidden Christians, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. We're going to pray this prayer out loud with you. If you want to receive Christ or rededicate your life to Christ, it's so important that you say this prayer. Say it with your own mouth and, more importantly, mean it from your own heart. Here we go. Dear God in heaven, I know I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. There's only one Savior. His name is Jesus. I call upon you, Jesus. I ask you now, come into my heart, come into my life. Be my Lord and be my Savior. I turn from sin to the true and living God. I receive his love, his grace, and his forgiveness. Dear God in heaven, you're now my Father and I am your child. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit and give me strength to live for you and serve you all the days of my life, beginning today for the rest of eternity. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Can we thank the Lord together, church family? Listen, if you prayed that prayer to commit or rededicate your life to Christ, congratulations. One of the reasons we believe we exist is to come alongside of you and help you continue to grow in your relationship with Christ. So I need you to do something that's very important. Communicate with us what the Lord has done in your heart. You can download the Trinity app, or you can go to trinitytoday.com, or you can click the tab that's available for you online right now, or follow the instructions on Facebook. And we have some information that we want to send you. We want to be a part of this spiritual journey with each and every one of you. We love you. God bless you. We look forward to seeing you in our next service.